And man, I'm telling you, my body is feeling it. I ain't as young as I used to be.
No, yeah, no. We all, you know, the fatigue kick in differently on everybody. But I mean, 4 hours not bad. Let's see, if I went to Jacksonville for AEW and I left as soon as the show over with, 10 o'clock, I'd get home about 2 a.m. If I really wanted to push it, I'll get home at 2 a.m., go to sleep, wake up at 6 o'clock 4 hours later and go to work for, 10 hours. I could do that. I mean, it's been times where I'm sitting at home and I'm up at 4 a.m. doing stuff on the computer and got to get up at 6 to go to work and have done that. I've done that plenty of times, especially when I was gaming, like real hard and was playing online.
At that point, you might as well not even go to sleep.
Yeah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. But in my mind, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just go to sleep for a couple of hours and then I'll be good. But when you do that, you're right. You might as well just stay up because it does more damage falling asleep for 2 hours and then waking up with a headache because you ain't even had enough time to get to a deep sleep.
Yes, sir. And the only reason I know that is because I myself have done it. And let me tell you what, them short sleep hangovers, they're not fun. They hurt like a lot. So what else is on your mind tonight, Debo?
Nothing, man. Not nothing, but hold on real quick. I'm being distracted. Hold on. I had something on my mind that I was gonna do really quick and then I lost track of it. Let me think. Hold on. All right. So, yeah. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit of baseball. It's not really much, but I just thought it's kind of funny in a way. It's not funny, but ironic. Let's just say that ironic in a way. So we know how the effects of COVID has had on the world of sports.
Yeah,
and this time last year there was nothing going on. We was all sitting at home, finding other things to do with our time because there was no sports. No sports. You know, the NBA was talking about coming back. Baseball couldn't figure out how long the season was they was gonna have. They could have been playing, but they didn't get going until after the All-Star break. Football was in, NFL was in the off season. Major League Baseball, the NHL, everybody was on break. And, so this 1 year later from last year is a stark difference in the way the country exactly where the country is at. And now with the vaccine rolling out, you know, things are moving in the right direction. That's about as much as I'm going to say about that. But the New York Yankees got seven COVID positives on the staff. And a few of the coaches, they're all asymptomatic. Just put it that way. They're all seven tested positive or asymptomatic. All seven people tested positive, even though they were all vaccinated, fully vaccinated for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So I know this is just sports, but if this is happening, what, I mean, how would this impact some of the other sports if you have this situation? And again, if this is happening to athletes, then what happens in, you know, regular society, and what happens if this makes people, you know, question, okay, somebody's not telling us something. Because for me, you know, I know better because I've done enough research. But there's a lot of people out there that think once you take these vaccines that you can't catch it. And you can't catch it. And
and the thing is that, you know, eventually, yes, I do feel like we are going to have a strong enough vaccine that is going to get us to that point. We're not there now.
No.
What people have got to understand about this vaccine, taking this vaccine does not mean that you're immune. It just means that your body now recognizes what the virus looks like. In other words, this vaccine is kind of like a sparring dummy. And what I mean by that is that your body is learning to identify what this virus is, and it's fighting it. Okay, that's about the most basic answer that I can give you. Now, I, for one, I took the vaccine. I really didn't have any side effects or anything like that. I was really tired, but I don't know if that was from the vaccine or if it was from working the type of schedule I did that week. Don't know. But what I am going to say is just because you get the vaccine, don't think that you're immune. And I'm not saying live in fear, folks. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is just be mindful. Use some common sense. And you know what? And you'll be all right. I mean, you know, we were saying this all last year, and it's so true today. Why? Because the stuff that we should have been doing all along. And, you know, I mean, yes, the vaccine is going, it's going to help. It's a tool. It's not a cure. It's a tool. And that's what everybody has got to understand about this vaccine. It is a tool to help fight this virus. So
now I'm gonna ask you this. I'm gonna ask you this.
Yes.
Okay, so with the people who've been vaccinated, they catch it, they're asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
And my question would be, if they're asymptomatic, then what is, we know these PCR tests has a error rate of about 50 to 60%. Because of the the amount of cycles they have it up too high, they could, you know, they could, it could pick up dead coronavirus cells. So if they have been vaccinated, and let's, you know, usually when a vaccine, they inject you with a little bit of the virus itself. Could that be a false positive?
Yes. Yes, I absolutely think that. And that's why I also say, if people come up and they test positive, especially after they had the vaccine, and that's one of the things that I question and everything like that is, okay, are they testing positive because of a little bit of the virus is actually injected into them, or do they actually catch it? You know, and I mean, and this to me, this is something that I personally feel. I personally feel that it needs to be addressed and everything, because, and especially in the sports world, because the way that I am hearing this is that there are a bunch of professional and college teams that are not going to allow unvaccinated fans into their stadium. Now, I don't have an exact number. I don't even know exact teams. Well, actually, I do know a couple of exact teams. Every one of the New York teams has said that they are not going to allow unvaccinated people in. So, I mean, do I think it's right? No, not really. And I know it's weird coming from me because I got the vaccine, but I took the vaccine for, personal reasons that, you know, Derek, me and you and the rest of the Rat Pack have discussed in private and everything. But just because I choose to do something doesn't mean that I feel like everybody else should have to do it. But now, with that being said, every team has the right to say how or what people are going to be able to attend their games. It's just like a business that reserves the right to refuse service to anybody. And I mean, you know, I really think that this is going to be a slippery slope and everything like that, but I do think that we are on the right track.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm right there with you. I just, you know, that my concern or question about the test and the you know, false positive with the PCR test or whatnot, whatever system that Major League Baseball is using, you know, as they've said, they've reached the 85% vaccination rate among players and staff, such as managers, coaches, and you know, athletic trainers as well. We kind of have to, you know, look at the whole thing and understand how the PCR test works and the fail rate of these tests. I mean, I was reading something and listen, me and William Graves, Boss Hogg, I got a few other buddies of mine, been talking about this, but I think I'm going to do it. And I just don't know what day or what time, but we're going to do a show catered towards these type of conversations. And then we can kind of go in more depth of all this stuff. But I was reading some the other day, and basically it was saying something about the CDC updating the charts. And updating the chart based on the fail rate of the PCR test. And literally, it was said that about 85 to 90% of these PCR tests that's being run are coming up as false positives because the spin cycles has been way too high. They should be around about 25 to 27 spins, and they had it set to about 40, 45 for spins. So when you have it set for 40, 45 spins, then it can go and find, dead cells that may have been in your body for years. And this is, you know, where people just need to go out and do their research and gather as much information as possible on your own, not just listening to what everything that's being said, because there's a lot of information out there that's not being talked about. And you know, education is powerful. The mind is powerful when you ask questions and challenge yourself to go seek answers. Not just, hey, somebody told me this, I'm going to believe what they said because they have a higher position than I do. So, you know, to tie this all in, you know, with, you know, the New York Yankees and stuff, I think everybody could use this as a time to really go and figure this, you know, find more information, because everybody's thinking that, you know, I'm vaccinated, then I'm good. I can't get it. It's not the case. We get the flu shot every year. You can still catch the flu. So I don't understand how, you know, people could have thought that, okay, it would be any different. You know, from the same family of viruses. So, but I know that I had to be a shock to the Yankees, especially to the people involved. The Rays are playing the Yankees tonight at the Trop, and they're down, you know, pretty much all their staff, and a couple of players was held out as well to you know, just as a precautionary. And, you know, baseball is going to do their, you know, investigation and dig into this and figure out, you know, what's going on and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, it kind of defeats the purpose of us doing all this masking. No, not doing the masking, but if they told you, you know, a year ago that, hey, we're going to have this vaccine, but it's not going to work, Okay. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, for the players well, and the managers all involved, like, a lot of them players probably felt like they had to, because if not, then they wouldn't be able to play the sport that they love. So now they're in a situation now we done took all these players, 85% of the league is vaccinated. And now these players are finding out, shoot, we all vaccinated and we can still catch it. Now, it may asymptomatic. I got my own opinion on asymptomatic carriers. That's me.
I mean,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, to me, mm-hmm. if somebody told you you had the flu, but you was experiencing mm-hmm. those symptoms, would you be worried about it? Or any virus? Hey man, you got a 24 hour stomach flu. Well, I feel fine.
Well, so if I was told that, and I was told, okay, it's a 24 hour flu, or whatever, I guess we're gonna walk around this rabbit hole just for a second. But first and foremost, I can't wait till we have that show, because there is so much I want to say, and you know, so when you do decide on a date for that show, let me know.
Oh, most definitely, man. Now, like I said, like I, you know, me and William, we do Rap Passport, so we're going to try to keep these shows separate from each other, because the personality or the opinions and stuff you may hear on one show ain't going to be what you hear on the sports. We don't want to get them crossed up to where we don't want to do that. So because I'll be more in the background mm-hmm. on that show, like I am here, when people start talking, I sit back and listen. I'll throw in my opinions when needed. But that this show ain't going to be for the soft personality. It's not. I mean, that's just the way it is.
If they can't handle opinions, they don't need to turn.
My boy Tom Hanks in League of Their Own, there's no crying in baseball. Hey.
One of the greatest lines ever said.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just the way it's going to be with this show. But we're going to have a lot of different people every week. Man, I know tons. I mean, like, probably 50.
Well, 50 plus people
that I can probably call up and say, hey man, I want you to come on the show. And he's going, you know, this ain't gonna be like, you know, one sided. It'll be a show where I'm gonna bring on some people from the other side and we're gonna have a debate. It's gonna be a professional debate. It's not gonna be like Skip Bayless and what's the dude name?
Who?
What's the show, man? Why can't
I
remember
the
dude's
name? I don't watch that network.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, though. What's the black guy name? Whatever.
You mean Shannon Sharp?
No, the one on, not Skip Bayless. I mean, yeah, Skip and Shannon Sharp, and then what's the one on ESPN?
Who, Jalen and Jacoby?
No. Why can't I remember this dude's name? What's the black guy that does the NBA? Oh my gosh, dude.
Oh, you're talking about I know who you're talking about.
Why can't remember this dude's name? I mean, it's not
Wilbon. I know it's not Wilbon.
No, I'm not talking about Conan. Yeah, it's not Wilbon. I know Wilbon. I can't even. Why can't Stephen A. Smith. What's the show with him and who's the guy? Max Kellerman. I can't even remember the name of the show. That I don't really watch it, but you know what I mean, how they have the orchestrated back and forth.
Oh, are you talking about Stephen A?
Yeah.
Okay, Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, what's the other, Max Kellerman and Stephen A., what's the name of that show?
Hot Dumpster Fire? I don't know.
Look, you know what I mean, though. You know what I mean by how their show is. It's you know, it won't be like that. It'll be, you know, done in a way where people will say they pump. It might get a little heated, but it's not gonna be, you know. It's something we've been talking about for about 6 months now, and I just had somebody like, you know, message me. And told me to go make it happen. So,
so you need to quit playing around, Debo.
Yeah, because I know he'll be one of the people. I know he'll be one of the people that'll come on and be, you know, a big contributor. Like, I mean, these are not just regular, like, you know, Joe Smo types of people, man. These are like people that's, you know. They got some credentials. So
yeah.
You know, we gonna try to figure it in. We're gonna try to keep it, you know, nice and good for everybody. But I think this would be good for the network to do, you know, do something different. And mm-hmm. You know, it's a polarizing subject. So anytime you got a polarizing subject, you know, you're gonna get a lot of feedback, you're gonna get a lot of attention. But that's what we want, because we just want to, you know, get the word out and give our opinion on things. So ladies and gentlemen, on the line with us, we got a Rat Pack Sports Show, NFL/fantasy football guru, and board member.
You forgot acting general manager of his high school.
Exactly. Acting GM of his high school, who's on the advisory board to select the new coaching staff for his school. So we're going to bring him in without further ado. Boss Hog / Guru / AD. Sean Naylor, what's going on, brother?
What's up, my dude? What's up?
I'm kind of mad at you, Sean.
Why is that?
My phone didn't even ring when you guys were interviewing for the head football coach.
For real, man. You can't even put this man's name in the hat? Are we going to have to Rooney Rule y'all, man?
Oh, you ain't going to have to Rooney Rule us. Nope. Not in the least bit. We hired a very good man for the job. This is what the turn off program around.
What kind of offense does he run?
He runs a spread.
Chop.
Spread offense with a multi-zone read run game.
So you think it's gonna you think it's going to fit the personnel you guys currently have, or it may take a take a few years to, it's high school, so it's not like, you know, you got to deal with what you got.
It'll fit the personnel we have, because we don't have a lot of big horses up front. So the zone blocking scheme and the reads and stuff like that will be fantastic. And then the defense is real simple. He plays maybe two or three coverages, and that's it. He doesn't teach multiple coverages or anything like that. He plays a 3-4 base with a 3-3 stack, and with a 3-3 stack option with only about three coverages on the backside. So very, very knowledgeable individual when it comes to the game of football. Gonna be a fantastic face in our community, and I think he's gonna turn our program around and be a tremendous asset to our school.
Now, is this his first stint as a head football coach, or has he been a head football coach, or even an assistant elsewhere?
He's been an assistant multiple times. He's been a head football coach for one of the top schools in the city, and actually took them to the playoffs. I believe it was 3 out of the 6 years that he coached there. So,
wow, very nice.
So let me ask you, Boss Hogg. Did you feel any pressure? Making this decision, or was it one of those decisions where, you know, the guy was so qualified for the spot that it was really no pressure to, you know, make the decision on bringing him in as the head coach, or not pressure, but
he was number one on it. He was number one on everybody's list. The entire panel, the guy we chose was number one.
How many did you guys interview?
We interviewed 5.
Okay, that's a pretty big number.
We interviewed 5. There was 7 of us on the panel. And he was the top candidate on all seven lists. And it was also
another guy
who was very very receptive. He just didn't think he was fit as well, because he was coming from Denver. And he was going to still live in Denver and drive down every day, and yada, 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 to sustain. So, but I'm happy with the guy we chose. Like I said, I think he will turn our football program around, and we'll be back. We play in one of the toughest leagues in the city. We're currently a 500 ball club, but I think he'll put us over the hump. Maybe not next year, but as he builds more kids, if he gets more kids into the program, I think the program will turn itself back around.
Now, over there, I don't know, you know, everywhere is different, but are schools or coaches allowed to recruit players?
It's not like, I mean, we have an open boundary policy, but you have to sign a waiver to get in, and then you have to be approved if you're a kid from outside of the district. But so it's a little more difficult. I mean, you can quote unquote recruit, but usually it's just a lot of it comes from the feeder junior highs. Normally, you really got to coach up those younger kids and those feeder junior highs, and you got to get those kids to buy into your program if they want to continue to play in your program after they leave junior high. You know, when they become a freshman, that they want to play in your program and they want to continue to see the winning ways of the program that's being built. And buy into it and stay into it for the 4 years that they're in high school. And then the school buys into it, and then you have that winning culture that you've built throughout the entire school, the entire community. That's what we're trying to regain. We've lost a little bit of that over the last couple of years because, I mean, this year was a complete, we played 5 games due to COVID this year, and we went 1-4. The only game we won, we beat probably one of the worst teams in the city right now, being 67-0. But it was just one of those years, and you really can't put a measuring stick on it because of COVID. But our younger squad, our freshman squad, really had a good year. So we have a lot of talent at that lower level that with this new head coach, I believe he will be able to continue to build that talent. And then the incoming freshmen, and he has a very solid plan for youth leagues to get the fifth and sixth grade leagues to start buying into our program and see what our program is about and everything like that. So, we start building that winning tradition at our feeder schools, at our feeder elementaries, at our feeder junior highs. We start building that stuff, and then they come to our school and continue to see that winning tradition grow, then our program will get back on top.
Now, I know we're talking a little bit about, you know, your school situation, but I think it's pretty cool. Now, with a new head coach, obviously he's the head coach of the varsity team. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. So being the head coach of the varsity team, that's like the top of the very top of the program in your sports as far as grade level wise. And it's always good when your varsity program and your JV program are running in unison with each other. And so when you bring those younger kids up as they move through the ranks, the same thing that the higher level is doing, the lower level is doing something exact or something similar to where the terminology is something, you know, they understand it better. So there's no growth period, or you don't spend a whole lot of time, you know, teaching a whole new system. Is that something you guys, is that something you guys talked about? Is when bringing him in is maybe having a farm, you know, like a farm system type of deal between the JV and the varsity?
That's exactly something we talked about, exactly getting some of our varsity coaches, our JV coaches, and our C-squad coaches to coach those younger 5th and 6th grade teams, 3rd and 4th grade teams down at the lower level, sharing our terminology with the feeder schools, the junior highs, sharing our terminology with their programs so that they can run some of our stuff, so that the kids can learn directly from our feeder school, that the kids that go to our feeder school can understand our terminology directly. And exactly, we don't have that development, that delay in development. They know our terminology, they know our stuff, and we can just go right in from summer camp when they're 8th graders, incoming freshmen. They come to summer camp as incoming freshmen. We can start drilling that terminology even deeper during the summer. Then when the fall hits, school starts, and they start hitting those final 2 weeks before the regular season, they can, it's embedded, and they just go, and it's a smooth transition from junior high to high school. It's a smooth transition from C squad to JV, from JV to varsity. If they're talented enough as a freshman, our numbers are small enough that we do have some freshmen that can actually play varsity if they're good enough. So you might see that an incoming freshman who's talented enough to play varsity get some time up on the varsity squad. So all that stuff is, he's bringing that with him. That was one of his strong points in talking. He had a very strong relation with people inside the youth leagues, inside the Pop Warner leagues, inside the CSYL, and inside the park and rec departments that run the football programs, the youth football programs for Colorado Springs. He has, contacts in there, et cetera. So he's going to be bringing all that with him.
That's pretty cool, man. So did you feel important sitting in that meeting, being on the board to select the new coach? I mean,
I felt privileged. With my knowledge, and the knowledge of the game that I have, the dedication that I have to the athletic program of the school, and then going to be working with that coaching staff week in and week out, as being the lead play-by-play man on the live stream, and having to talk about the program and talk this guy, whatever coach we would have selected, talk him up on a live stream, make sure parents, are understanding that this guy is the right man for the job. Being involved, all of that being involved is why I was selected to be on the panel.
That's pretty cool, man. Being like you said, you the knowledge that you have of the game, how hard you study on the game of football, that had to feel pretty good, and just getting that opportunity to be able to be on the board and select, the head coach of the school that you're working for, and like you said, you got the play-by-play thing happening, so you'll be able to build a somewhat professional/personal type of relationship with the coaching staff, sitting down, picking the brain week after week, talking about game plans and, the different players and how they're going to attack, the teams from week to week. That's got to be, something that you definitely going to be looking forward to, and I know us, just from what you did with the basketball team, man, we can't wait to hear you on the football, because you did so well on the basketball, but football is like your first your first love. So if you, as hard as you work for basketball, you know, you're going to work 10 times as harder on the football end, because you, you know, that's your dedication. That's what you do. So we can't wait to hear you on the football park, football live streams. And you did say you was going to have a color commentary, or are you doing it by yourself?
I haven't decided yet if we're going to have a second guy in the booth with me or not.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you did. Look, I think it's easier to do football by yourself than basketball, because the game doesn't move as fast. And, you know, you're used to the speed of the football, so you'll be able to keep up with it a lot better. It's just memorizing like 100-plus names, you know, so that'll be a little difficult. You'll have your little sheet in front of you with both rosters from the teams. But my advice, because I've only done it like twice, but my advice is just, you know, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Nobody can see you up in the booth except for the people in the booth. So just don't mess up. Just don't mess up. And you'll be fine. I mean, for me, when I did it, I was more worried about messing up, or, you know, saying the wrong name or wrong jersey. But it's really not that fast compared to the game of basketball. And you really only need to know the star players, you know, with high school, because those are ones that you're gonna hear most of the time. Only time you're gonna announce an offensive lineman is when he get called for holding, or defensive lineman when they get a sack or a tackle. But I had fun doing it, man. You'll enjoy it. You'll definitely enjoy it.
I had a blast doing basketball, so I'm so looking forward to doing football.
So you doing a pre and post, like a pre-game type? You doing pre-game show or post-game, or you just going to do it?
We haven't decided yet what we're going to produce, if we're just going to go from, like, usually we come on the air, like, 15 minutes before kickoff.
So okay.
Do a little bit of a pregame type thing there. And then we don't do too much with the postgame. They didn't anyways last year, but we're still talking production and what we're going to do this year and things like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, 15 minutes before a high school game is probably about right, because, you know, you don't want to be on there too long. So 15 minutes before the game is nice. I think with football, it'll be, especially because you're doing a live stream, it might be decent to do a 15-minute post game and just talk about, you know, some of the plays of the game, big plays, you know, star player of the game, or somebody that impressed during the game, whether it's the winning team or the losing team. And then, you know, check out after about 15 minutes, and it won't even feel like a you know, post game, because it's not that long. You're just kind of like reviewing the game for the listeners. Now, I did. I'm gonna get with you, because you doing a live stream, so you probably gonna be, y'all probably gonna be on like a dedicated stream link for the most part. So as we get closer, let me know, and I'm going to try to set it up to where if they can't, now this is just a live stream, no video, right? Or it is video?
Oh, no, there's video.
Okay, so it's a live.
It's a live video stream, yeah.
Okay, so what may be possible is, from an audio standpoint, if some can't get to a, you know, some don't have a screen, then maybe we could carry the stream here on the Rat Pack, and we can broadcast it over the air for those who might just want to listen to it. I mean, either way, I can. Either way, whether it's video or audio, bro, I can stream both right to either way. But I think the audio by itself would be good, because y'all already got the video taken care of. So the audio just would be more like a radio stream link for those that's driving or something and they can't watch it. They can tune it in on the stream and just listen to the audio. We'll figure it out. But man, I just want to do whatever I can to support, you know, to try to, you know, make it even better. So we'll get in. We'll, as we get closer to the season, man, we'll figure it all out. It's a way it can be done.
Yeah, that'd be legit. Once we figure everything out, once we get our schedule set and everything, we'll get it going.
Friday Night Lights on the Rat Pack.
Friday, we got one Thursday night game.
Oh, that's awesome. Thursday night. Okay. I'm thinking high school. Varsity usually play on Thursday.
Interfere with my Washington Thursday night game, because I may have to.
No, don't do it to him.
I may have to, you know, not call that game if it's the same week as Washington's week two against the Giants on Thursday night. So like, I may have to skip out on that game if it's the same week.
Don't do it to him, man. Oh boy! All right, so good deal, man. Good deal. So let's get into a little bit of NFL, and some of the news or rumors that you're hearing. I know I looked into the chat and saw you and William discussing the Aaron Rodgers situation. We discussed it a little bit more after the show last week. There was some more things that came out. And I pretty much said it. I think William agreed. And I like Aaron Rodgers, but I think what my man is doing is a little bit petty.